Ireland is due to play Israel in October, with those calls for a boycott being raised since the game was announced back in February. The government says it's a decision for the FAI. The opposition parties say, you know what, that's nothing but a cop-out. So who should really be making the call here and paying the price if the boycott, or indeed the game, goes ahead?
There is no official boycott of Israel, just make that point, from an Irish perspective. So people have to distinguish between the government of Israel and its policies and the people of Israel, and that's an important point. And I think sport is an area that can be challenging in when it crosses into the realm of politics. But here, the international sporting organisation has its rules, its framework. It's a matter for them to deal with issues like that. But here we should not have security issues. The team should be allowed to play and get on with it.
It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. So the Israel versus Ireland game in the Nations League campaign has been the single most important issue on the Irish football calendar ever since we missed out in qualification for the World Cup back in March. Oh, how simple it could have been. It's a position really nobody wants to be part of, and yet the government says it's not going to intervene here. Minister of State for Sport, Charlie McConlogue, says the FAI is in a difficult position. He recognises that, because refusing to play could bring sanctions from UEFA. But still, even Minister McConlogue says he's not going to attend the game himself, either as the Minister for Sport, and that the footballing decision rests with the football governing body, in this case the FAI. The opposition parties are now calling that out. Sinn Féin and the Sock Dems are bringing motions to the Dáil calling for the match to be boycotted. They say the government is hiding behind the FAI. And think back to 1999, when an Ireland match against Yugoslavia was stopped during the Kosovo War. At least here the government stepped in. But this seems different. Is it the threat from US officials to sanction Ireland in some meaningful way having an impact? And then the FAI, of course, has to think about UEFA, their rules, possible fines and points deductions, and much, much more. All the while, players have ended up stuck in the middle. Well, to discuss all of this today, I am joined by Off the Balls, Cameron Hill, and by our own political correspondent, Sean Defoe. You are both very welcome to News Talk Daily. Well, Cameron, I mean, this has been a headache, hasn't it? And it was a headache when that draw was announced back in February, and then it kind of went quiet, and by God, it's raised its head again.
Yeah, I think the FAI more than anybody else is looking forward to the World Cup to kind of take some of the spotlight off this game over the next couple of weeks. So as you've mentioned, we have to go back to February for when this really kicked off, and the draw for Nations League and Nations League B especially, from an Irish perspective, took place in Brussels. So just to explain to people, the Nations League began in 2018 and it's designed to give European teams more competitive games, so kind of replacing those boring old international friendlies that would clog up international windows. And they're important because they're actual competitive games, and they determine the seeding of teams for qualification campaigns in major tournaments, so the Euros and the World Cup specifically. And last month, UEFA revealed plans for the 2030 World Cup qualifiers to be essentially replaced with a Nations League system. So that's why these games become even more important than they would have been already. Ireland were drawn in League B3 alongside Austria, Israel and Kosovo. And unsurprisingly, Ciara, it's the Israel fixtures that stood out almost immediately. Ireland will play the away tie on September the 27th. Israel have played their away fixtures in Budapest since October of 2023. But when the draw was made, the Israeli Football Association expressed their desire to host those games in Tel Aviv and see what they called the blue wave of home support to greet the Irish when they come over. And the home game is scheduled for October 4th at the Aviva Stadium. That's 3 days before the anniversary of the October 7th attacks.
And just to go back to that draw back in February, I know there was two FAI officials in attendance. They didn't comment, they didn't say anything, but I'm sure their immediate reaction was, shit,
yeah,
okay, this is going to be a headache. But Heimir Hallgrímsson, the manager, did comment at the time, didn't he? And recognised that this was a difficult draw and it wasn't just the standard of football.
If Russia is banned, then I don't see the difference why Israel shouldn't be banned. Saying that, I need to think, and I'm here to think about the football side of things. Boycotting the game for me would be wrong.
Yeah, that was something that really struck me when the draw was made, because we were in the office watching this and say, oh gosh, not Israel, not Israel. Because we knew that what has transpired would happen, that it would dominate football discourse for the next 6 to 8 months in Irish football. As you say, Paul Cook, the FAI president, and the chief executive, David Carell, were alongside Hamer Hagrimsson at the draw at Brussels. They left before media could actually ask them what they thought, to leave Hamer Hagrimsson to carry the can, as he has done on quite a few occasions since that draw was made. But then the FAI released a statement saying that the Ireland men's team would fulfil these Nations League fixtures against Israel after being drawn together in Group B3. Interestingly, they did acknowledge that a motion was proposed by members of the FAI General Assembly to vote on issuing a formal request to UEFA for the immediate suspension of the Israeli Football Association from UEFA competitions. Now, that vote, 93% of delegates voted in favour of that motion. It responds specifically to a breach of the UEFA and FIFA statutes around teams and clubs playing on the territory of another member association without the latter's approval. That relates to Israeli clubs playing on Palestinian territory.
Okay, so just to be, I suppose, really clear here, that original motion, that's based not just on their moral objection to playing Israel. You're saying they said, look, there's a breach of the rules here. That's what we're objecting to. What happened to that motion?
So it was acknowledged and they were going to bring it. That happened in December of, or in November, I should say, of 2025. And around that time, there were murmurings maybe that UEFA and FIFA would look at possibly suspending the Israeli FA over their actions in Gaza. And then it seemed to cool off once talk of a ceasefire and maybe a resolution to that conflict was starting to really gain traction. So UEFA and FIFA completely backed off, even though it feels like they got quite close to the 1 yard line on eventually actually going through with that before backing off.
Okay. So perhaps UEFA was going to vote on it, but that never materialised. Okay. Let's bring you in, Sean, because the two FAI guys who were there at the draw, as we said, probably said, oh gosh, I think you put it nicer than I did, Cameron. And I would imagine the government thought exactly the same thing. In the initial days and weeks after this draw, what was our government's reaction? What position did they take?
Well, look, the government has taken sort of one reaction and really stuck with it. And that has been to put this on the FAI. And so once the FAI said, we are going to fulfill these games, the government said, right, so you've made a decision there that takes a bit of the pressure off us and we're going to back you in doing that. And Patrick O'Donovan, the sports minister, basically came out pretty much straight away and said, look, if we don't fulfill these clashes, Ireland will be the big loser. We'll face whatever it is, sanctions, ramifications. And Cameron could probably talk better about points being dropped in the Nations League. And that obviously affects, as he was saying, our seeding in qualification tournaments, which have been hard enough to win and get a result in anyway over the last, well, whatever you want to call it, 20 years, however long you want to take in. So that's the main position is basically, look, put it out to the FAI. We have to fulfill these. That's fine. And then because there was a bit of a pullback from the government, similar to what he was talking about there in UEFA, when it looked as though there was going to be a ceasefire and that ceasefire would be meaningful. The Occupied Territories Bill suddenly receded into the background. Talk of this receded into the background. And as it's been clearer and clearer that it's a paper ceasefire, really, and that Israel has no great intention of ever stopping its conquest of Palestine long term. And we've seen things in the last couple of weeks with regard to the summit flotilla and the treatment of Irish detainees there. It's really come back to the fore. The Occupied Territories Bill is being pushed again, saying that that's going to have progress, if not be totally passed, before the summer. And then the stance on this has been changing bit by bit. So the latest really is Patrick O'Donovan and Charlie McConnellogue saying, you know, the game, okay, should go ahead. FAI have made their decision. It's up to them. We're not the governing body, but we're not going to attend it and fans shouldn't attend it. And we're going to effectively boycott the game. So they're kind of living in a halfway house where they can deflect much of the blame onto the FAI if things go wrong. But that is going to be really highlighted in the Dáil next week when Sinn Féin have their stop the game motion, and when the cabinet is forced to take a decision next Tuesday on what way it and Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil TDs as a result will vote.
To bring you in there, Cameron. What did you think of the government's position? You know, it seemed to be the game should go ahead, but ultimately this is for the FAI.
I think it's a dereliction of duty on their part, isn't it? I mean, it puts it, as Sean has mentioned, squarely on the shoulders of the FAI, who, to their credit, after a pretty poor start to this whole saga with leaving their men's football manager to field these incredibly difficult questions, have come out and said, look, we're forced to do this. This will negatively affect us, just to run through some of the sanctions. And David Correll has said that he has no reason to believe that the sanctions for not fulfilling these fixtures would be anything outside of footballing matters, but it would result in a 6-point deduction for Ireland in this Nations League campaign, a 6-0 defeat over the two games, because if you forfeit a fixture, it's an automatic 3-0 win for the other team, which would result in probably getting relegated to League C and affect our seeding for Euro 2028 qualification, which of course Ireland are hosting games at. And I think Hamer Halgrimsson last week alluded to the fact that not only would that harm our chances of qualifying, it would boost Israel's. And there's a situation where Israel are playing their pool games and maybe knockout games in Dublin at a tournament Ireland aren't even participating in, which would be a far more difficult situation, you'd feel.
Yeah, we're handing them the 6 points.
Exactly.
If we don't play this game, and thereby absolutely increasing their chances of perhaps even topping the group.
Mm. So it means that it comes down to those footballing parameters. But like, as Sean's alluded to, and as a lot of people have alluded to, it's not a football matter squarely. There's so many different political and social aspects to this that it has to fall under the government's remit. And for them to wash their hands, I think, is quite unfair.
Okay, let me just bring in the sanctions, because I do want to talk about those, because there has been a lot of discussion around these potential sanctions. What are the sanctions available to UEFA if we don't play these games? And what are the likely sanctions that they would impose? Because I kind of feel like they might have a little sympathy for the Irish team here and for the FAI here.
That's what David Correll said. And Paul Cook also said this, that UEFA are sympathetic to Ireland's position regarding these games. But again, they're under no suspicions that these would be purely, they wouldn't be purely footballing sanctions. So the deduction of 6 points, the possible ramifications for our qualification for Euro 2028. Paul Cook said it's not financially motivated, these decisions to go ahead with the boycott or with the fixtures. And he noted that a donation to humanitarian aid in Gaza will be made around the staging of the home fixture. I suppose there will be probably fines and other ramifications if the games go ahead and there are protests at the game. So Norway and Italy fans booed the Israeli anthem during games for the World Cup qualification campaign just gone, and they were fined by UEFA. Interestingly, they weren't fined for the brandishing of Palestinian flags at that game. So it seems like it's a very case-by-case basis on how teams or how countries and federations are punished based on what they do or don't do regarding fixtures against Israel.
Is there a difficulty here, though, also for the FAI, because Ireland is hosting the Euros in a couple of years, and a lot of the FAI officials, I presume, are moving in the same circles now as UEFA officials, and UEFA has been good to the FAI in the last couple of years when they've needed money from them. Does that make it more complicated, do you think, or is that unfair, Cameron?
I think it's probably just a little bit unfair, because I suppose you could make the case that the previous regime under John Delaney was a lot cozier to the UEFA than this one is. And there were obvious problems with that one too. So it is a difficult one to square. I suppose this was never going to be as easy as, say, not playing games against Russia or Belarus at the outbreak of the war in Ukraine. It seems like Ireland, and so many commentators have made the point that if Ireland were to do this, they would be the first and would be kind of standing out on their own unless they got support from other federations. Now, I know that the Norwegian FA had called at their AGM to support Ireland's motion to suspend Israeli teams from UEFA competitions. That was something they put to their members earlier this year. So it seems like there is tacit support, and maybe others would row in, but it's far from unanimous that if Ireland went and took a stab at this, that everybody'd row in behind them.
They could be out on their own. They could be isolated here. Give me a sense, Sean Defoe, of what's being said amongst cabinet ministers and amongst government TDs about playing this fixtures. Do you think more of them are in the camp of Patrick O'Donovan and Charlie McConnellogue than, let's say, the Taoiseach, who seems to be saying repeatedly that he thinks the game should go ahead?
I think if you privately canvass them, they would want the game not to go ahead, and they won't be seen anywhere personally near it, and would have a huge amount of sympathy with the FAI, with the players, I think, most importantly, who feel that a lot of this is being left and put up to them, and who are far from politicians. And there has been a huge amount of sympathy is probably the wrong word, but resonance from some of the comments that Seamus Coleman has made, essentially, about this being a political issue. At the same time, there's a couple of different trains of thoughts on it. As you said, the Taoiseach there saying it should be played. Patrick O'Donovan, albeit seeming to pull back a little bit, but still also still saying that the game should be played. And even the fact, like you said at the start, and I felt it jarred so much, when you talked about Ireland being the one to face sanctions in all of this, all of that's going on in Palestine and everything that Israel is doing, and we would be the ones to be punished for doing something and for making a stand on it. I thought Richie Sadler, some of the comments that he made were bang on the money of what a lot of people are thinking.
And this isn't, I keep hearing the word, this would be a strong statement. This isn't a statement. We're great in this country at statements. The most powerful politicians in this country give statements. They're ineffective and useless. This would be an act. This would be a decision to act. And I would fully be behind people who think, you know what? This long into this set of circumstances, action of some kind is surely required.
And then when you look at some of what the other, and not even the moral high ground, that's sort of being a bit dismissive maybe, but to make the moral point that should be made about what Israel is doing. When you talk then to some people in the opposition, they're saying, look, it's absolutely clear. You take the hit here, you have the government intervene, it needs to be led. You look back to what happened with Yugoslavia in 1999, that was a government decision in the end. They decided not to grant visas to the Yugoslav team, and they were, the sports minister at the time, Jim McDade, was an awful lot more involved. He was meeting UEFA delegations right up until that match was going to be played. And I think Bertie Ahern, who was Taoiseach at the time, said something like, if UEFA don't make a decision, we'll make the decision for them, which is very, very different to the language that we're seeing from the government now, who seem to much more want to have the hands off. Now, eventually that game against Yugoslavia did go ahead later in the year, whereas it's very difficult to see now how the public mood, or indeed anything really, unless there's a big change in elections in Israel later this year, how any of that would change to allow this game to be acceptable towards the end of the year.
Okay, so there is precedent, is what you're saying, very clear precedent for the government taking a real clear position here when it comes to Ireland playing another team. So what's different this time, do you think, Sean?
Yeah, well, one is the different government and it's a different time, and there is probably more European-wide support, not European-wide, but in European countries. Europe is divided over its support of Israel in general. You also have the US angle, let's just be honest about it. You take 1999 and 2026, they're different Irelands. Yes, the Celtic Tiger was taking off at that time. US multinationals were coming in, were pouring money into the company, into the country. But we are more reliant now on the US than we've ever been. We have a hostile administration there, and we have a lot of people and a lot of actors on Capitol Hill who would be, frankly, quite happy to slap a few sanctions on to Ireland, or to push back against sort of Ireland's criticism of Israel, and have much more support for the Israeli cause necessarily than would have been there for the Yugoslav cause in 1999. So that definitely plays an impact here. At the end of the time, it comes down to political bravery. You know, there's been a lack of political bravery over the Occupied Territories Bill. There's been a lack of political bravery here. And some of that is rooted in sense when it comes to both financial elements and looking after the economy. There's definitely a factor here. But they could, for example, I don't think there'd be anything stopping the government to say, well, look, we're going to back the FAI, and if they're fined, we'll pay it. If there are sanctions that are financial, we're going to support the FAI full hilt. We haven't really heard that confirmed, even though it is in that motion that's going before the Dáil next week.
Let's just look, I suppose, to the Stop the Game campaign, okay, because we saw the match against Qatar last week, we saw the oranges being thrown on the pitch, and there's games this weekend, Cameron, and that campaign has promised that they're going to escalate their opposition. What form do you think that's going to take? Do you expect there to be further campaigns this weekend?
I'd say there will be protests, depends on whether they happen in stadium. So, as you mentioned, Ireland played the Netherlands on Friday in a Women's World Cup qualifier in Páirc Uí Chaoimh in Cork, and Carla Ward, the Republic of Ireland women's manager, was reluctant to be pulled upon whether those protests are going to happen, and she sort of said, look, we'll play it as it lies. There's not a whole lot we can do one way or the other. And echoed,
got to focus on the game.
And echoed kind of Hamer Halgrimsson's point that, listen, you know, it's their right to protest. If they want to destroy the game, so be it, was his take after the Qatar match. So as you mentioned, Stop the Game is a relatively recent group that's come to the fore and have been protesting outside of Leinster House. We're protesting on Tuesday last week, and they put a letter out last month signed by League of Ireland captains like Roberto Lopez of Shamrock Rovers, who's heading to the World Cup with Cape Verde, and Bohemians captain Dawson Devoy, basically calling on the FAI once again to boycott these Israel games. Former Ireland manager Brian Kerr, ex-Ireland international Louise Quinn, and Bohemians chief commercial officer Daniel Lambert have also signed that. That latter member who signed that is very interesting because it was Bohemians who initially brought the motion to the FAI General Assembly back in November to call on UEFA to ban Israel teams from competitions. And in late February, the PFA Ireland, so basically the trade union for footballers playing professionally here in this country, released the results of a survey of 214 League of Ireland players. 63% of those believe the fixtures should not be fulfilled.
So ultimately, what do you think is going to happen here, Cameron? I mean, if you're saying there that, by the sounds of things, the opposition to this game is pretty widespread amongst the wider footballing community, if the game goes ahead in Ireland, what does it look like? If the game goes ahead abroad in a more neutral venue, what does it look like? Or does the game just get cancelled altogether? What's your sense?
My sense right now is that it will probably take place in a neutral venue outside of Ireland. That seems to be the most viable alternative available to the FAI and to the government, let's be real. David Carell said there's no scenario where a game can be taken overseas under UEFA regulations unless it's declared on the formal basis of safety and security. Now, as early as February, senior government figures had suggested the game could be taken to a neutral venue outside of Ireland. In fact, the Irish Times said the two people with knowledge of the issue who spoke on the condition of anonymity, it said they expected the game would go ahead at a neutral venue, though each stressed that no decision had been made. Now, that would affect the FAI on a financial basis because obviously it affects your ability to generate revenue through gate receipts at the Aviva Stadium and would give up home advantage for a competitive game. It would hit fans as well because if you're a season ticket holder, you get points based on how many games you attend per season. I don't know how much of a concern that would be to fans who are not going to the game anyway, but it would limit the potential for protests outside Lansdowne Road during the game, which would probably be a welcome breather for An Garda Síochána, who are looking at that game on October 4th and wondering what kind of a situation they're going to have to face into.
And you think there would be actual legitimate security concerns if you were bringing the Israeli team and their fans here to Ireland?
I think so. Now, the Israeli FA said there mightn't be any fans being brought over from Israel, but there is a sizable community in Ireland already. And one Lunchtime Live caller on News Talk a couple of weeks ago said he's a season ticket holder. He wouldn't go to the game, but he would turn up to any protests outside the Aviva Stadium on the ground that night. So there is definitely a sense that Irish football fans will be mobilised one way or another to voice their views on this game, whether it should go ahead or not.
And even if the game does go ahead on a neutral territory abroad somewhere, will the game actually play the full 90 minutes?
Oh, I would say so.
You don't think there would be a level of protest at the game amongst Irish fans that would see it stopped?
No, there would be a scaling up. If they were taking it on a neutral venue and they felt there was probably a real threat of that happening, it would be played behind closed doors, which again is not something you really want to see from a competitive point of view. But it could get to that point. Yeah, I think it would be played at a neutral venue right now, but I am keeping an eye on this mobilisation of the games being boycotted and the consequences of that. I think back to the Irish women's basketball team who played against Israel and the support that was out there for players to boycott. And again, it came down to players' personal choice and whether they played that game or not. But there was a huge groundswell of support from Irish Sport for Palestine, including people saying that they would generate whatever crowdfunding schemes they'd need to pay any fines that FIBA, the basketball version of FIFA, would impose on Ireland for not playing those games. So it does seem like there is a direction travel here.
Do you think the FAI will make this decision after its EGM, which it looks like will be going ahead in the next couple of weeks?
I think so, because then they'd have a mandate, wouldn't they? And if the last survey or motion is anything to go by, it seems like it's going to be not unanimous, but at least overwhelmingly in favour of boycotting the games among delegates.
So to go to these opposition motions next week then, Sean, how do you think the government is going to handle that?
It's very difficult because so the way motions work in the Dáil, firstly, they're non-binding. Just to bring you inside the tent, if you like, that even if they are passed, the government doesn't have to do anything on them. It's not a bill, it's not legislation. It's essentially the Dáil expressing its overall view. And the way they're written is they're done in a series of points. So the Dáil recognises that XYZ. So in this case, it's, you know, there is genocide happening in Palestine and the actions are of Israel are in breach of the International Criminal Court and the International Courts of Justice, etc. And then calls at the end for a number of actions. In this case, calling on the government to withdraw its support for this game going ahead, to pay any sanctions and a number of other things. And it is difficult because I think coalition-wise, as I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of people and a lot of TDs who would have an awful lot of support for the Stop the Game campaign. So next Tuesday, the cabinet will have to make a decision on what it will do. Sometimes they bring forward counter motions, probably the most likely way to do this. It's kind of a cop-out in that they put their own motion forward and get their TDs to back that. That takes out some of the more contentious bits in the likes of the Sinn Féin motion, for example. They could offer a free vote on something like this and say, go whatever way you will. And then, you know, it's the will of the Dáil is expressed and yet the government doesn't actually have to do anything. I think what's going to happen ultimately is that they are looking at the FAI and looking at particularly this meeting that has been called, and maybe thinking the FAI is going to make a call on this one way or another with UEFA, and they're going to just stand back and say, yep, we back the FAI decision, whatever that ends up being, and just take the bit of a hit on the Dáil motions when they come forward. I think based on the track record, that's the most likely thing that they're going to do, but the coalition will undoubtedly face justified criticism for that in how hands-off they have been, given how relative to other countries strong Ireland has been on the international stage calling for sanctions against Israel.
When does the FAI have to make a decision on this? There is a deadline here, isn't there, Cameron? Is it 7th of June?
I believe so.
Time is running out here.
Time is running out, and you'd get the sense that I don't know if there's going to be a definitive. I feel like even the 7th of June, there will be still far more twists and turns to this saga than that deadline would suggest, I'd feel.
Okay, so it's one we will continue to watch here on News Talk Daily, and I'm sure you will be covering it extensively on Off the Ball too. Cameron Hill and Sean Defoe, always a pleasure to have you here on News Talk Daily. If you have any thoughts on whether this game should be played in the Aviva or if the game should be played at all, do drop me an email. Love to hear from you. newstalkdaily@newstalk.com or get me on Instagram. You can follow me @officialKiraD. Until tomorrow morning, take care. Bye-bye.